Because he knows where the power comes from. What are we doing here tonight? I'm going to preach. Amen?
Amen.
They're all just words on here that really doesn't mean anything anyways. It's all from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Just trying to make sure I got it in order. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I do just want to thank our pastor. I know he's not here, but we don't thank him enough for being such a faithful pastor. Amen. And allowing me to even ask me to come up behind the pulpit to preach a message. He trusts me. Why? I don't know why. So I just count it an honor and a privilege to fill in for him. It's big shoes to fill. But if we could stand, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and we're going to start in verse number 1. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you and praise you, God, for allowing me to get up here and preach your word. And Father, I pray that you be with the hearts and the minds that are listening. And I'm praying, dear God, that your words would be spoken and not mine. I'm praying, Father, that you please hide me behind thy cross. And I'm praying, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would be working tonight, Lord. And please be with our pastor. Give him safe travel. Give him a great time of fellowship with the other believers. And Father, I just pray that what's said and done here tonight, dear God, that it would make you happy, that it would honor and glorify you, and because that's why we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Need to grab a drink of water. Lord started working on my heart about this message, believe it or not, when I was in an airplane on my way to Puerto Rico. I was reading through the book of Hebrews and coming upon Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading Hebrews 12, and I start in verse number 1, and I get down to verse number 3. And it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners." And I stopped and thought about that for a little bit, about considering him, about considering Christ and what he did. But the Lord said, no, keep, read just a little bit farther, Paul. And so I said, okay, and it says, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I could not get those words out of my mind our entire trip. Lest I be weary and faint in your minds. We all have heard of maybe the saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, right? We've heard of that. And how so true that really is. Our minds are precious. We have little children in here that our minds are just soaking up everything around them. That's why parents and grandparents need to be so censored on what we are teaching our grandchildren or your grandchildren and children. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we ought to be teaching them in the morning, in the afternoon, and at nighttime, in the evening. Teaching them, writing them, showing them the Word of God and how important God's Word is. How important is the Word of God? And as I was on the plane, I finished reading chapter 12, and I started chapter 13, and God said, "No, you need to go back to Hebrews chapter 12." I could not get out of Hebrews chapter 12 in verse number 3. So I started praying to God, "God, is my mind weak that I am fainting in the way? Have I forgot about what you have done for me? Have I not considered the cost?" And then I put it away for a little while after I got back home from Puerto Rico. And then that pastor asked me to preach, and I said yes. So throughout the week, praying and asking God, "What do I preach?" He goes, "You need to preach Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. I said, "God, I can't preach that." He goes, "I know I can." Ungodly thinking leads to ungodly practice. And that's the truth. If you're thinking ungodly, you're going to be doing ungodly things. To faint. Not to faint. I mean, fainting, yes, you can. Your blood pressure gets crazy and you can faint and pass out. But we're not talking about that kind of faint. To faint, to sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit. The dictionary, Webster's 1828 says, "How now have you ever experienced a loss of courage or spirit? Has your mind ever gotten the best of you?" That's how my mind's getting the best of me. Sure it does. I don't know about you, but I know where where I was, okay? And listen, I know the devil knows what I used to do. And as Pastor was talking this morning, how things just pop up in your mind while you're in church. Where'd that come from? Your sinful past, that's where it came from. And lately, the past few weeks, I'm telling you, it's me, but I struggle up here. I struggle up here. "Paul, you ain't good enough to preach the Word of God." Well, wait a minute. I'm a child of God, so I am. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Are you in the battle? Is your mind in a battle every single day? Mine is. Maybe you don't faint like I do. But my mind gets the best of me at times. At times where I'll be at work and I gotta say, "Devil, get thee behind me, Satan. You can't trip me up." On the way to church, my mind, I'm telling you, the mind is the devil's workshop, is it not? An idle mind? You cannot keep your mind idle for too long, or the devil is just gonna have a field day with it. Why? Because the devil knows your weaknesses. The devil, the Bible tells us that he is a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. And if we're not strong in the Lord, guess what? He's going to start to attack your mind. Because your mind is not only just, it's also attached to your heart. And if he can get to your mind and then get to your heart, guess what? He's getting some victory. We cannot let the devil have victory over our minds. You ever thought about something wrong? And you know you shouldn't have. And then you ask God to forgive me. And then you, 10 minutes later, you think about it again. Your mind. Where you know that you should be reading your Bible or praying. Come on. You're thinking about this stuff and nothing happens about it. Your mind is your thoughts. Where is your mind? Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 12. I will try to be somewhat brief tonight, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take control. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar verse. We all know it, starting in verse number 29. And Jesus answered them, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God is one Lord." Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. We are commanded to love the Lord with all of our mind. That means every single day, every single moment, our mind should be filled with Jesus Christ. But we let the world tear it apart at times. You ever heard of the phrase, "Your mind is in the clouds"? You ever see, man, their mind's in the clouds? Or about, man, your mind's in the gutter. I got to tell that to the boys at work sometimes. Man, your mind's in a gutter, man. Get it out. And guess what? Do you know what that does to my mind when I hear, when you hear stuff like that? Listen, when you hear stuff like that, when you see stuff like that, either at your job or on the television or on your smartphone, that's a permanent picture in your mind that the devil can use and try to ruin your mind. And as I thought about the mind, I thought about in the beginning. Genesis, let's go over there. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, verse number 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That is today, folks. That is today. You cannot go anywhere without seeing the evil thoughts of the minds of the men today. Because it's continually. It's continually. That's why it's so important for us older folks to take these little kids. You see them? And you shelter them. Protect them. When you walk into the store, my son over there, when we walk down, we try to stay away from the ladies' aisle. Guess what? He's got to walk like this. He doesn't want to look at that stuff. I don't want him to look at that stuff. When you're sitting in line, take the magazines, flip them over. Why? Because that's going to go in their minds. Remember, what you're watching on TV, that's what's going to go in their minds. My son and I were watching a baseball game the other day, and a commercial came up, and I went like this, and I looked over, and he went like this. Why? Because that goes in there and it stays. And the devil will bring it up at any time. Any time he feels like he will bring it up. And guess what? It's right at the time where you think you've got it all under control. Sitting in church underneath the preaching of the Word of God, and the devil will bring up something you done did, or that you looked at, or that you said. Your thoughts, man, are so important. What do we think about? Mark 12 says that our minds need to be on the love of God. The love of God. So as I was preparing for this message, I thought about a title. I really couldn't come up with a title besides "Lest Ye Faint in Your Mind." Lest ye faint in your mind. That's the only thing that I could come up with. Lest ye faint in your mind. And then I began to think of what causes a Christian to faint in their minds. What causes you to faint in your mind? First and foremost, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody in here. You know your own spiritual condition, whether if you're saved or if you're lost. I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. Let's go to John chapter 5 and I'll explain what I'm trying to say. John, what did I tell you to go to? John 5. John chapter 5 and verse number, what do I got down here? John 5. Let's start in verse 37. John 5:37, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, from whom he hath sent, him he believed not." Verse 39, look at this. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." God knows your lost condition if you're lost tonight. You can do all the good that you think you can. It's not going to be good enough. You can come into the doors of this church as many times as you want and think that you are doing a good deed, but that's not good enough. You can pray as much as you think that you need to pray, but that's not good enough. You're lacking one thing. You're fainting. You're struggling. Why is it so hard for you? Because you never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just because it's not good enough, it ain't going to work. So what causes a Christian to faint? To faint in their mind, what causes? Number one, I got 7 things and I got to do it in 15 minutes, so I'm going to go fast. Number one, worldliness and carnality will cause a Christian to faint in their mind. Do you remember Lot? Right? On how Abraham gave Lot the choice? Where do you want to go? Set up your tent? And where did Lot choose to put it? Facing the world. Carnality. And eventually, where did Lot end up going? To the world. Facing carnality. He was wicked. He was thinking about it. And God had to rain judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he not? Amen. 1 John chapter 2. Very familiar verses. Nothing new. Nothing new. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." I believe and I see that Christians are just hanging on to what they can in this present world. We work so hard to gain A. We work so hard to gain B. But what are we gaining when we're doing that, when we're trying to be like the world and live like the world? What are we gaining? Worldliness is what we're gaining. We're gaining carnality. You know that was a problem in the churches? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse number 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're fainting. If you're living worldliness or carnality, your mind is fainting. Number two, how about doubt? Does doubt cause a Christian's mind to faint? Absolutely, it causes our mind to faint. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, and seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Now Jesus is saying, consider all these things, the lilies, the birds, and how I don't take care of them, or how I do take care of them. Aren't you better than all these? But you are doubting that I will take care of it. We've all been there. God has always come through, right? And there's somewhere in our minds, I don't know why, I haven't figured it out. Well, I kind of am trying to figure it out because it drives me crazy to even have doubt upon God. Okay? Or how He comes through and then the very next day we go, I just wonder. You ever done that? Amen. Or is it just me? Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 verse 31. This is Peter. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, where didst thou doubt? Where'd you doubt? Amen. Where'd you doubt? I got to move right along. Number one, what causes a Christian's mind to faint? Worldliness or carnality. Number two, how about doubt? Number three, I thought about this. Wrong friends. Listen, can all the little kids, I know there's not a lot, but all the little kids look at me just for a minute. Choose the right friends. Because if you don't, they'll drag you down in a wrong place. You need to have good friends. A friend that is godly, reading their Bibles, praying, that is not going to tell you to say mean things, do mean things. Listen. Wrong friends will harm you. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Listen up, little kids. If somebody's trying to tell you to do something that you shouldn't, don't do it. Why? Because you know it goes against God. Adults, the same thing. Choose your friends wisely. You know who you should be rubbing elbows with and you know who you shouldn't be rubbing elbows with. You know who you gotta cut the umbilical cord off, so just cut it off. Say, I'm done. Listen, I love you, but guess what? I can't hang out with you no more. I can't chill with you no more. Why? Because it is causing my mind to faint. My mind needs to be on the Lord, and when we're together, it's not on the Lord. And they may take a little offense to that, but maybe they'll start to realize that, whoa, maybe he is or she is a Christian. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Huh, that is so hard sometimes. You got somebody just speaking nonsense. You just got to turn around and walk away. Just turn around and walk away. You don't even got an answer. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Listen, verse 25. Listen, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Kids, you start hanging with those that do, you're going to do. I promise you. I've been there, done that. There's many older fellas and ladies in this auditorium that can vouch to the same thing. You hang around the barbershop long enough, you're fixing to get your hair cut. It's only a matter of time. Why? So hang with those that are in church, kids. And those that are in church, be a good witness to them. Be a good testimony to them. Why? So that you can bring them to church with you. Same thing with us, adults. Worldliness, carnality, doubt, wrong friends. How about number 4? How about our pride? Does our pride cause us to faint in our minds? Pride, just simply trusting in yourself. Trusting in yourself. I got this. God, I got this. I can do the preaching. No, I can't do this. I need to be humble. We need to be humble. Proverbs 16, since we're in Proverbs. Verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Get lifted up in pride and we're going to fall. Which causes our minds to faint. I don't need to be in church on a Wednesday night. That's pride. I'm good. I got stuff going on. I'm all right. I don't need to be in church on a Sunday night. That's pride. I don't need to come to church on a Sunday morning. That's pride. I don't need to read my Bible. That's pride. I don't need to pray. That's pride. You name it. It's pride. It's all pride. I don't need to get saved. I'm good, God. I'm good. I'm good. It's pride. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I'll finish the verse. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying await of the Jews, with all humility of mind. Your mind needs to be humble. Worldliness and carnality, doubt, your wrong friends, your pride. Number 5, how about what causes a Christian to faint in their mind is a neglect of prayer and Bible reading. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, it says that men that all... I'll mess it up, Luke 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So guess what? If we are not praying always, guess what our minds are probably doing? Fainting. Why? Because the Bible, Jesus tells us that we always need to be praying. Just talking to the Heavenly Father. I spoke with Nathaniel a little bit yesterday. I come out of my little study that I got, and I said, "Hey, Bub, I hope you don't mind that I'm going to share this with you." I said, "Bub," or with them. I said, "Bub, did you read your Bible today?" Because I was curious. I said, "No." So we got talking about the father and son relationship. And how he would feel, or I would feel, if him or I didn't communicate. Feel horrible. He'd feel horrible. I'd feel horrible. You know how much it blessed my heart for him to say, "Dad, let's pray"? So I tell him, "Look, it's important that we read our Bibles and pray." So he shut the television off, and guess what he did? Read his Bible. Talked to his Heavenly Father. Not me. Not me. He talked to his Heavenly Father. And I went and talked to my Heavenly Father. Listen, it's so important to humble yourselves in an attitude of prayer every day. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Does it not? Does that mean just pray sometimes? No, that means we need to pray all the time. All the time. When we're dealing with wrong friends. When we're in the world. Listen, when these thoughts of doubt come upon us, we need to be praying. "God, help me with these. I know they're not true. I know where they're coming from, Lord. So please help me. Show me." And God tells you, "What's my word say? Hide God's word in your heart that what? You may not sin against Him." It's so important to be talking to our Heavenly Father, to be praying to our Heavenly Father, to be reading, that He could be talking to us, that we can be listening. Worldliness, carnality, doubt, your wrong friends, your pride, neglect of prayer and Bible reading. Number 6, I got to move fast. How about trials or adversity? Does trials or adversity, I got to say that slow because I can't say it real good. Adversity, does that cause a Christian's mind to faint? Absolutely it does. First Samuel, I was just staring at my notes. First Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither an ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." But in verse number 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed. Was David not going through some adversity at this point? David needed some help. And God delivered the help. Why? Because he encouraged himself in the Lord. Adversity is going to come, folks, in your life. Trials are going to come in your life. That is not the time to give up or give out or give in. It's the time to dig your feet in and say, let's go. Remember what saith the Lord. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, what's that say after that? Thy strength is small. Trials, adversity will come. Worldliness, carnality, doubt, wrong friends, pride, neglect of prayer and reading, trials, adversity. And number 7, what causes a Christian to faint in their minds? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. Don't you believe your Heavenly Father's promises? Right? Doesn't he not promise that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt God? On what grounds do you or me distrust his faithfulness? Because that is a lack of faith. Is that you're not trusting in his faithfulness. Is there any grounds? Can you take your finger and be like, right here? No, you'd be chasing all the time. You can't put your finger on God's unfaithfulness because he's not unfaithful. Because he is faithful. Guess what? He was faithful all the way up to the cross. When his father had sent him here and said, look, you're going to go die for these bunch of people. He said, okay, Dad. I'm going. Why? Because he loves you, he loves me. His faithfulness nailed him to the cross. When he was praying in the garden, you think he was fainting a little bit? Drops of blood coming from his brow? But still went? God is faithful, folks. He always comes through. He has never failed you. He's never failed me, not once. Amen. But we doubt that at times. We doubt that at times because the devil knows what our minds are thinking. That's why it's so, I can't harp on it enough, is to keep your minds in the Word of God. To keep your minds, our minds, in prayer. Not on our televisions or in our smartphones. Facebook. You name it. You name it. Anything that draws you away from God, there it is. Amen? I gave you some causes. Can I give you a cure? Now the cure. Simple. Galatians chapter 6. I got a few verses and then we'll wrap it up. Galatians 6, verse number 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap, if we what? Faint not. Don't get weary. God's got you, all right? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse number and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What are those things? Those things that was just mentioned. The things of God. Think about the things of God. Put your helmet on. The helmet of salvation to protect your brain. To protect your mind. Amen? Colossians chapter 3. Think about these things. If ye 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's the cure. Think about God. Right? 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The Word of God. Amen? You want a cure to help your mind not to faint? It's the Word of God. Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, back where we started. And then I have one more verse after that. Hebrews 12 and verse number 3, for consider Him. There's the cure. For consider Him. For consider Him. Consider what? What He endured. Such contradiction of sinners. Do you ever consider the cost of Christ? What it cost Him? If you do, you're less likely to faint in your minds. Why? Because the Bible tells us, for consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. So if you start to faint in your minds, consider Him. Him. It's all about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. And about His glory. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40. If you're faint in your mind, tonight, I have it right here. Verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 29. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Look at these next words. Look at them. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. The power of God. If you're faint in your mind, ask God to help you, to help your mind. Ask Him. He says right here, He giveth power to the faint. His power. Not your power. Not my power. It's His power. And guess what? When you get that power, hold on to it. Hold on to that power. Why? Because when you're faced with trials and adversity, you'll be able to get through it. You won't have small strength. You'll have God's strength. Amen? When you're faced with worldly circumstances and carnality, you won't have your strength. You'll have God's strength. And when you come across bad friends or those acquaintance of you and they're trying to tug you the other way, you won't rely upon your strength. You'll rely upon God's strength and God's power. And when the devil tries to jump in and get in your mind and tell you you can't do it, you're not worth it, you ain't good enough, you're just going to fail, guess what? You can jump on God's power and not your power and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Rely upon God's power because it's all Him. Are you faint in your mind tonight? Get the power of God. And if you're here and you're not truly born again, you're fainting. You need to take care of that. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your love, Your compassion, Your faithfulness. Dear God, You are so good. I thank You so much for sending us Your perfect Word. I thank You, dear God, that we can at any time come to You in prayer. God, when we're weak, when we're feeble, when we're faint-minded, faint-hearted, we can come to You only if we realized that we need You all the time. God, I do pray that You would be with the hearts and the minds of those that are in here. Anybody that is struggling, I pray, dear God, that they would just get with You. It may not have, it doesn't have to be up here. It can be right there in their seats. God, we love You and we owe You everything. In Jesus' name, amen.